Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. I woke up this morning. I'm alive, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you don't have a neighbor, look at the person behind you and tell, hey, it's good to see you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Anybody have faith this morning? You got some faith in the house? Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. I love truth. I'm glad I go to a church that's full of truth, the Word of God. Amen? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Yeah, one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. One mind, one accord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one. Amen. One God. Revelations 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Who wants to make it to heaven? I want to be in paradise. I want to make it. I want to be in one mind and one accord. I want to be right. So we're going to talk about this morning, keys to overcoming. Keys to overcoming. Dear Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds to understanding, God. Give our hearts a desire to live for you. Lord, there's none of us here that are perfect. There's none of us here that have it all figured out, Lord, but we are your servants. We're asking you to step in on our behalf and lead us and guide us and teach us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To him that overcometh. There are some keys to overcoming obstacles, situations, circumstances in life. And I want to talk about a few of those this morning. You know, it doesn't take very long for a person to realize that once you've come to God and you've been saved and you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that trouble is pretty sure. Obstacles are pretty sure, and temptations are still there, and the devil is still after you. Probably a little bit more. I heard an old preacher years ago said it's just like being in Kmart with the blue light special on aisle 9. You get full of the Holy Ghost living for God, and it's like having that little blue light on you, and the devil's coming after you. And you're going to have circumstances, and your faith is going to be tried, and you're going to have issues that you're dealing with in life that you're trying to figure out. But if you'll just stay in the Word of God and keep applying the Word of God and the biblical principles that are in this book right here, I promise you, God will see you through. Amen? He will see you through. The book of Job reminds us that trouble is, and trials are inevitable. In Job 5 and verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We need to understand this morning that we need to understand how to face trials, how to face troubles that are going to come, because they're going to come. If you've lived a day of your life, you've had troubles. Anybody here never had any trouble? Anybody here never have a problem? Anybody here ever never have a situation that you didn't know what you were going to do? What was going to happen? Anybody here never been in a position where you were destitute and you were stranded and you were in trouble? I promise I'm going somewhere. You're going to see, because God gave me a miracle this week and you're going to hear about it this morning. So we're going to talk about overcoming this morning because I am an overcomer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you a secret? You are an overcomer. You can make it. God is on your side. Hallelujah. Has anybody here ever heard of the jeweler's test? The jeweler's test? You know, you can take a fake diamond that's all pretty and sparkly. You know, you got it for 10 bucks on the corner of a street in Houston somewhere. Or I bought a watch in San Francisco for my wife, and it's as fake as a $3 bill, but it looks pretty. It sparkles and shines. But you can take that thing and put it underwater. It's called the jeweler's test. And those diamonds, they lose their brilliance. They're dull. They're ugly. They're not real pretty to look at. Submerged in water. Submerged in trials. A real diamond does not do that. A real diamond will still have that fire and that sparkle and that shining through the water. It'll even be more brilliant. And we must not lose our brilliance or our shine or our fire when we are submerged in trials, when we are being afflicted, convicted, in a situation, in a trial, in a circumstance. We've got to still let the fire and the love and the brilliance of the Holy Ghost and what God has done for us to shine through. The Lord will make a way where there seemeth no way. He'll give you a way out. But it takes some patience. It takes some prayer. It takes some faith. There are some things that it takes to get the answer. So there are some keys that we're going to talk about this morning for overcoming in our trials or our situation. The first one I want to talk about is an attitude of joy. Would you say that with me? Attitude of joy. You can tell a lot about a person by their attitude. You can tell usually in the first few minutes that you meet someone if you're going to get along or not. You can tell a lot about a person's spirit by their attitude. Their attitude will reveal what's in their heart. An attitude, you can tell if they're happy, if they love the things around them and they love people. You can feel that. You can tell that. But if they got an old sourpuss of attitude and face on and they're scowling, they're mad at the world, you know, hey, that's probably not somebody I want to hang out with, you know? They need some more God in them. So an attitude of joy. An attitude of joy. We've got to have an attitude of joy. James 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Count it. Count, that word means to consider or to evaluate. So consider it all joy. Get it happy. How many of you get happy when you fall into diverse places? None of us. But you gotta have the right attitude. Attitude can change the situation. You remember the sermon we preached about the perspective, and I had Brother Baggett up on the ladder, and a few of you are still a little upset at me because I risked his life on this ladder. Let me tell you, the man can climb any, he could climb that right there if he wanted to. There's an S on his chest somewhere. I promise. But the perspective changes. Your attitude can change the perspective. If you're mad about the situation and you get in a bad mood, anybody that would come and help you, they're not going to want to help you because your attitude stinks. But if you have a happy-go-lucky, just a, you know what, thank you, Jesus. This is just another opportunity, God, for you to work a miracle. This is just another opportunity, God, for you to get me through another situation. God will step in on your behalf and he will work on your behalf. attitude of joy. Count it, consider it, evaluate it. Joy is not the natural human response to trouble. How many of you have joy when you realize that you're going to have to pay more money to the IRS?
Oh.
Or that you that new tire you bought has a couple of nails in it. Or you're like someone that's sitting here this morning, all four tires have a bunch of nails in them, and you don't know why. Attitude. And their attitude, by the way, was very, you know what, it's just part of it. And that was Brother Douglas. I'm in the hospital. He said, man, we were out the other day, and we got four tires full of nails, 8 and 10 nails in a tire. How does that happen? It just happens. But the attitude, our attitude. You go to see him in the hospital, he just had a heart attack, arteries blocked, surgery. And he's smiling, giving out CDs, inviting the nurses to church. Attitude, spirit, joy. He could have been down in the dumps about his situation. There was a lady in my father's church named Linda. I won't say her last name in case you know her. She's dead. She died at 43 years old. But her attitude my entire life was, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying. She'd tell everybody, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm dying. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's not right. The doctors can't do anything, but something's not right. I'm dying. She died, 43 years old. My dad buried her. Attitude, her spirit of the situation. She talked to herself. The doctors, when she died, said, the only thing we can figure is that her mental mind, she put herself in the grave. There's nothing wrong with her physically. She is dead because she had an attitude. Attitude, evaluate. So we must make a conscious commitment to face each trial with an attitude of joy. Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Attitude. God, give me an attitude that can process the situation and can come out of the other side better than when I went in. Give me an attitude of joy. I pray that. Lord, give me the right spirit. It inspires me when I walk into a hospital and I'm sitting with somebody and their attitude is of kingdom-minded. Their attitude is of being a witness. Their attitude is of giving something of themselves and of God to someone else. It is better to give than to receive. Attitude. These statements that we just read about in the scripture here, to be content, they are being made while Paul is in prison. What a viewpoint. You know, I've never been locked up in prison. I'm very claustrophobic, just so you know. I don't like tight spaces. When I was young, they locked me in a closet, and they left me there. I was in a Christian school, and they weren't so Christian, those two boys that did that. I was always big and always stronger than all of them. So they locked me in this closet, and I broke the door in half. And I got out of that closet, and to this day, I don't like tight spaces. I had an attitude when Captain Don sent me down in a little hole about as wide as this right here to crawl 50 feet up in front of the ship and change out a little pump that's like that. I had an attitude. I came out of that hole, and I told him, sir, there is no man alive that will make me go in a hole like that again. I don't need this job that bad. Attitude. There are circumstances and things that happen that can change your attitude. But we've got to be sure that we are true Christians. Attitude. So here Paul is in prison and he's saying, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've got to have the right. I'm going to be content in all things. Why? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of God. Why do you think the Bible says to hide the Word of God in your heart? They could take the Bible, but it's still in your heart. It's still there. You can live it. You can breathe it. You can eat it. You can sleep it. It becomes, you become what it is. Attitude, it's a choice. Attitude is a choice. That word "when" there in the scripture, the word conveys the idea of an unplanned event or occurrence that surrounds you. The Good Samaritan found a man who fell among thieves. He didn't go to fall among thieves. He just found himself there and he fell among thieves. He didn't go to get robbed and beaten up. He didn't go to get hurt, but it was a situation that just happened. And he finds himself in this situation. Acts 27 and verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. It was a place of turbulence. They didn't go to have a shipwreck. It happened, though. It came out of nowhere. Anybody ever have something just come out of nowhere and blindside you? You weren't expecting it. It wasn't on your little list of to-dos, and this is my next goal to accomplish, and all of a sudden you're unexpected. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Hebrews 12 and 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We've got to learn to cultivate a right attitude. I'm just talking to you this morning, I know, but I want us to be stronger in Christ. I want us to come together like we never have before. That starts with each individual one. If everybody would reach one. Nobody can allow God to change you except for you. Nobody can let God in your heart except for you. Nobody can hide the Word of God in your heart except for you. Nobody can practice the principles of the Word of God and having a good attitude except for you. You've got to do this for yourself. Now, you can have encouragement from brothers and sisters around you. You can be lifted up by a kind word or faith spoken into your life by someone who is of like faith and walking the same path you are. But you've got to choose this journey for yourself. Attitude. We've got to learn to cultivate that. We've got to work at that. We've got to grow that in us. You choose to walk around Walmart with a mean face and not talk to anybody. That's your choice. I choose to talk to everybody I come in. How are you? Nice to meet you. I was in a Boot Barn this last week, and an old man was there with his grandson, little boy about this big, picking out a pair of boots. And I was going through to the back and coming back out, and I saw him still there. And I helped him, and, man, those look good on you. How are you? You know, I don't work there. Don't want to work there. Couldn't work for the bosses there at all. I'd be in trouble. Attitude. When the man went to check out, I was leaving. He said, sir, what's your name? I want to give you credit. You helped us today. You're such a nice young man. I said, oh, I don't work here. You don't work here? I said, no, sir. He said, man, you sold us these boots. You sold us these shoehorns. You showed us these things. We're buying this because of you. I said, oh, that's great, but I don't work here. He said, well, why are you here? I said, well, my wife is the assistant manager, but I don't work. Oh, okay. Well, we sure pray. Well, what do you do? I said, well, actually, I'm the associate pastor at Harvest Time Worship Center in South Sulphur, Carlos, there on 27 South. Really? Man, where is that? I gave him a card. It just opened up an invitation to be able to invite him. Well, don't be surprised if we don't show up one Sunday to see you. Man, y'all, come on. We're going to have a good time with God. Attitude. I didn't have to help him. He looked lost. He needed help. Attitude. We cultivate that. John 16, verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be